Going to be reading from Luke 11, 1 through 13. He was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us to the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if a child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" I'm going to talk about prayer this morning. Prayer is one of the most powerful tools in our toolkit. Prayer works. Anybody that tells you otherwise doesn't have a clue. Prayer works. And prayer is not necessarily getting on your knees and praying. You can pray anytime, anywhere throughout the day. You can do what's been referred to as breath prayers, where you just kind of mumble under your breath as you talk with God. Praying as often as you can, anywhere you can, is a good thing. And prayers always get answered. They may not get answered the way you expect them to be answered or the way you would like for them to be answered, but prayers are always, always answered. Father Barry Foster, who was a priest in Dublin, Ireland, was parking his car one day, and it was on a little bit of a steep incline. He had his pet dog with him. A little dog was in the back seat, and if you were away from the car, you couldn't see that the dog was in there. So as he's getting out of his car, he looks inside the car and he says, "Stay." He backs up a little bit. He says, "Stay." Well, another man's watching this from the other side of the parking lot, knowing that this car's parked on an incline, can't see the dog inside. And he looks at the father and he says, "Father, maybe it'd be easier if you set the parking brake." Sometimes we feel that way. I know we pray and wonder what's really happening. And the non-believer often looks at us as we pray and they think, "Why are you doing that? That's like telling your car to stay. Why are you doing that?" But us as believers, we know why we do that, because prayer works. Prayer changes lives. Prayer changes things around us. And you have to admire children, some of the things they pick up and some of the things they say when they pray. For instance, this little girl prayed, "And forgive us our trash baskets as we forgive those who put trash in our baskets." Or the little girl that said, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from some email." And then there's this little boy that was kind of hedging his bets. "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, can I have breakfast with you in the morning?" Kids are honest. Kids are always in the face of Christ. And they say some of the neatest things. Things that kind of make you think sometimes. But we have to realize that the disciples knew prayer was very important. It was important to Jesus. So they asked him, teach us how to pray. And today we can say we're glad that they did, because from them asking, we have the Lord's Prayer that we say every Sunday morning. The Lord's Prayer in Luke is a little bit shorter than what we normally pray, but nonetheless, it has all the qualities that Christ thought needed to be in a prayer. It had a certain pattern. And we have to remember as we pray that there is this pattern that Jesus demonstrates to us in this prayer, beginning with recognizing who God is. Father, hallowed be your name. We know who God is and what he's capable of, and we acknowledge that, first of all. We recognize that someday his kingdom will come. We have no doubt about that. We realize that he gives us our daily bread. Without God, we might starve. And I know some people may be thinking, well, I work 40 hours a week to buy my bread. Yeah, you do. But God gave you that job. So we need to be indebted to God. We also need to have a forgiving spirit and expect that others forgive us. That's important. And we also ask God not to lead us into temptation. We ask God that if we start to stumble, catch us before we fall. Those are important things in prayer. We have to do those things and recognize those things to really understand what prayer is all about. And now, we pray at least once a day. I hope we all pray at least once a day, maybe multiple times a day. And we might think to ourselves, well, you know, God's probably getting tired of hearing me say the same old prayer over and over and over again, but I don't think he does. And it would be hard to say a different prayer 365 days a year, however many times a day you pray. That would be almost impossible. And we pray those things that are important to us, people around us, our environment around us, our family, things for ourselves perhaps. So the fact that you maybe say the same basic prayer over and over again is not a bad thing. God kind of expects that. God simply wants to be able to talk with you. And you have to understand now, every time I say that, I don't say you pray to God. Every time I ever mention prayer, I say you pray with God. It's a communication. It's not telling God what you want and then expecting it to happen. It doesn't happen that way. I know in today's society, we expect everything to happen almost instantly. And it doesn't happen that way. And because it doesn't happen that way, it doesn't mean that God's not listening. It doesn't mean that he's punishing you by doing something different. It just means that he's not ready yet. He will answer you in his time, in his way. He may not answer the way you would like him to answer. But that's okay. Because he knows what needs to be done in your life. And I know there are certain denominations and people that have this idea that they have to pray to kind of keep God from punishing them. There are people that think God is up there like some big cosmic cop waiting for you to mess up so he can go, gotcha! It doesn't work that way. Our God is a loving God. Our God is a God that has patience. Our God wants to help us. He's not up there waiting for you to mess up so he can get you. It's not like that. Prayer acknowledges that we need God. It is a dependency thing. Without God, we have nothing. We are inadequate as people. God wants to be in our lives, and that's why we pray. And that's why we take time out of our day to talk with God. And one thing that we do every Sunday, we pray the Lord's Prayer. And some people think, well, you know, that's just a ritual. And some people may be saying that because they know the words, but are they really listening to what the words are telling them? Are they doing it by rote instead of thinking about what they're saying? And that's the bad side of doing something ritualistically. But we as Methodists, we do things methodically. And so it is a ritual for us, just like some of the other things that we do. But it's a good thing, because it does make you stop and think about God and where he is and who he is and how he helps us and how he provides for us and how he is going to take care of us, and we are going to his house one day. Families that pray together stay together. Church families, families, it makes a difference. They've done studies that families that spend that little bit of time together, praying together, hold together better. There's less divorce, less problems. The families are better people. So that kind of a ritual is good. Get together with your family. Pray before you have dinner. Pray before you go to bed. Something serious is on your mind, get down in the middle of the living room floor and hold hands and pray. Wherever two or more are gathered. Praying is extremely important, no matter how ritualistically people may think it is. There is that pattern that Christ gave us. The other thing that Christ talks about in those verses I read is persistence. Prayer is something that is a matter of persistence. You have to persist at it. I know there are those, and I've even said the same thing a time or two, I'm sorry, tell you to lay it at God's feet and leave it there. But that doesn't mean quit praying about it. God wants to pray about, wants you to pray about it. He wants you to talk with him. And yes, he knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what you're going to pray about. But that's all beside the point. He still wants to have that relationship with you, that communication with you through prayer. He wants you to be persistent. Let him know how much this means to you. Keep knocking on that door, and he'll open it for you. Look at the Israelites. How many years did they cry and pray to God to save them before he finally released them from Egypt? God's time is a different time clock than ours. He knows. But you have to be persistent. There's a story of a man named Todd Ouellette, or Ouellette, however that's pronounced, young man. He didn't feel like the government was doing enough for our veterans. So he was going to do something about it. He was going to talk to the president about it. This was back in when Bill Clinton was president. So he went to Washington, and he camped out in front of the White House. He would walk around the White House, but he was there for 18 months, camping out, spending his time, hoping somebody would notice. Finally, A couple of Clinton's aides came out and talked to him to see what was going on. And he explained to them that he had these petitions that he wanted to be able to talk to Clinton and explain to him that he is disappointed that the government is not doing enough for our veterans. So they took the petitions with him and left, and nothing happened. So he continued his staying there, camping out and walking around the White House. Eventually, George Stephanopoulos came out to talk to him. And he explained to him why he was there and what he needed to do. And he told George, listen, if Clinton's got time to go golfing, he's got time to spend 5 minutes with me so I can talk to him about what's going on. George Stephanopoulos left and went back in. And eventually, he did get an audience with Bill Clinton. Because he was persistent, 18 months persistent, trying to get attention of the president. And that's how God wants us to be. He wants us to be persistent and vigilant and be committed to what we are praying about. There's another story about the Lutheran Church in the Soviet Union. Back before it started moving towards communism, the Lutheran Church in 1928 had 1.3 million members. Between 28 and 38, they still had 200 functioning churches, but down to 920,000 Lutherans and 98 pastors. In the late 30s, the mounting communist regime persecuted them because most of them were of German ethnicity. And in 1937, the last two pastors were finally arrested. And the only church's buildings that survived, the main one was the Peter and Paul Cathedral in St. Petersburg. But they didn't kill the gospel. They may have thought that they got rid of the church, but they didn't. Because you know what? This is not church. You are church. All they did was push it underground. People started meeting in basements, in their homes, in places where they were not going to be found. There was a young man who decided because of all of this that maybe God wasn't real because he didn't protect his church. He wound up in Siberia for several years and was there so long he actually lost touch with the German language. His mom passed away, and she had written a letter to him before she died, and it was delivered to him. And he had to have it translated because he had forgotten all his German. He says, I cried. The voice of my mother led me back to the faith that I had denied. So we can see where that may have been a persistent prayer of his mother. The letter said, I have no earthly possessions to give you, but I will give you the best I have. Remember Jesus always. Follow Jesus always. Love Jesus always. He is your Savior, and you are loved by Him. And that's what choked up that young man. And today, he is a pastor in the Lutheran congregation in the Soviet Union, and he is doing very well. Persistent prayer by his mother and that short message that she sent to him turned that young man around. If she hadn't been persistent in her prayer, he may still be in Siberia and not have anything to do with God or the church. Persistence is extremely important. Prayer also has benefits. Some might say it's a payoff, but I don't really like that term. Jesus is very plain that if we present ourselves to God, we talk with God, we trust in God, we are persistent in what we want, we will get a payoff, a benefit from that. We will get rewarded for what it is we are wanting in the way God thinks it needs to be given to us. It just takes time. We have to let God work. A good example of persistence is a little girl climbed up in Daddy's lap. He was sitting reading the evening newspaper. He really didn't want to be bothered. She was persistent and got up in his lap. So he let her get up there, and she's still fidgeting. And she says, "Daddy, I want you to build a dollhouse for my dolls." And to keep her quiet so he could finish reading the newspaper, he says, "Okay, I promise, I'll make you a dollhouse." Months went by, no dollhouse. Hadn't even thought about it. Happened to go into her bedroom one day and noticed that she had packed her doll furniture and her dolls nice and neatly for the move into this new dollhouse. And boy, did he feel guilty. But he built her that dollhouse because she was persistent. And she knew that one day he would build that dollhouse. So you can kind of see that's just like prayer. You have to be persistent. You have to show God how bad you want this. It's faith. God promises he will listen to our prayers. He promises they will not go unanswered. All we have to do is believe it and trust him. And he will give you great gifts, things that you need. Maybe not what you want, but things that you need. So remember that about prayer. Prayer is a way for us to acknowledge God, acknowledge that he takes care of us, understand that we have to have a forgiving spirit. Understand that he keeps us out of temptation. And that prayer is always answered. Prayer has a benefit. There's a young man in Fort Smith, Arkansas, where we came from originally, named Jamie Patterson. He wanted to be a preacher, 9 years old. He was telling his grandfather that one day, J.D. Patterson, and he told his grandfather what his first sermon was going to be about. He said, "It's going to be about God's umbrella." So his granddad's like, "What do you mean, God's umbrella?" He says, "Well, that's all there is to it. God has this big umbrella, and everybody is protected underneath it." That's faith, 9 years old, wants to be a preacher. So granddad, kind of needling him a little bit, he says, "Okay, what's your second sermon going to be about?" Little Jamie looked at his granddad. He says, "Well, I told you, granddad, once you know about the umbrella, that's all you need to know." But his grandfather kept after him. He says, "But what are you going to tell the folks that next Sunday at church?" He says, "I'm going to say, let's go outside and play baseball." Because he knew that once you understood that God had you under that big umbrella, that's all you needed to know. All you needed to know was that God had your back, God was protecting you, and God was going to provide for you for everything you need. He knew that. So why worry about it? Let's go out and play baseball. And that's how we should approach God. Like a child. The Bible tells us, come to God like a child. Because children are neat little critters. They're honest. They know what they want. They have some kind of in touch with Jesus. And they trust him, just like they trust their parents. And they know that all they have to do is ask. And mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, they'll get something for me pretty close to what I want. And God's the same way. If you ask for it and you really, really want it, God's going to provide it to you. So you can go outside and play baseball. Quit worrying about it. But keep praying. Let God know it's still on your mind. So there are three very important things to remember about prayer. It's about the Father, God. It's about forgiveness for us and for others. And it's about faithfulness. Our faithfulness to God and His faithfulness to us. And that's really all you need to know. Pray continually, even if it's just under your breath. It doesn't have to be a formal prayer. You can talk with God anytime. God wants a relationship with you. And prayer is the way we do that.